WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The FBI's recovered classified documents from former Vice President Mike Pence's home in Indiana. CBS's Skylar Henry has the latest.
The disclosure comes 2 weeks after Pence sat down with CBS News, expressing confidence no such materials were in his possession.
Our staff reviewed all of the materials in our office and in our residence to ensure that there were no classified materials that left the White House.
Days after that interview, sources tell CBS News a lawyer located the classified papers, checking four boxes at the Carmel, Indiana home at Pence's request.
The search for a shooter who killed three people at a convenience store in Yakima, Washington is over. He killed himself after SWAT teams surrounded him. In California, authorities say a 66-year-old is in custody after killing seven people at his former job. San Mateo County Sheriff Christina Corpus.
Victims were adults and a mixture of Hispanic and Asian descent. Seven males and one female. Only known connection between the victims and the suspect is that they may have been co-workers.
It comes just days after 11 died in Monterey Park. 100 million Americans are dealing with storm threats today, from snow slamming the Northeast to tornadoes down south. NOAA forecaster Bill Bunting.
It appears that a severe thunderstorm that did produce a likely tornado moved through parts of the Houston metropolitan area, especially southeastern portions.
At least three twisters touched down there in Texas. Senators are now debating dissolving a merger between Ticketmaster and Live Nation. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin.
In the decade plus since the merger, Live Nation has consolidated its dominant position in the ticketing and live entertainment markets, and the result is a competition-killing strategy that has left artists and fans paying the price.
This investigation started over Ticketmaster's trouble selling Taylor Swift tickets last year. Oscar nominations are out.
Ours is the dark house with no lights.
The Fabelmans is up for Best Picture and five other categories, and its biggest competition may be Everything Everywhere All at Once. It snagged the most nods today at 11. A woman is suing Mike Tyson for allegedly raping her 30 years ago. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
She's suing for $5 million, and while the exact date is not given, it's around the same time a beauty pageant contestant said he raped her in Indianapolis. He was convicted in that case and served 3 years in prison. In this instance, the woman says she still suffers from physical, psychological, and emotional injury.
Tyson has not responded to the claim. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What are the governor's priorities for Wisconsin? Tony Evers will lay out his second-term plans during his State of the State address January 24th. You can hear it live on your local civic media radio station. Will abortion rights, Medicaid expansion, and legalizing marijuana be the top issues? Your favorite hosts also provide insight by breaking down the governor's address. The State of the State address live Tuesday, January 24th at 7 p.m. here on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update.
The Wausau Police Department is asking for help to locate a man who was released from prison for sexual assault of a child. Kevin O. Spencer was released after his mandatory release date on November 8th. He was living in the 700 block of Jackson Street, not far from the Marathon County Courthouse. He failed to report to his Department of Corrections supervising agent, and his GPS is no longer functioning. Spencer is a black man, age 54, 6 foot 1 inch tall, and weighs 185 pounds. If you have knowledge of his whereabouts, call Marathon County Dispatch. Governor Tony Evers delivers the first State of the State address in his second term tonight at the Capitol in Madison. The governor, expected to focus on education, more funding for roads and broadband in rural areas, and restoring access to abortion in the state. You can hear the governor's speech beginning at 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Network. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 21 tonight under overcast skies, southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tomorrow, chance for snow, daytime highs approaching 31. Chance of snow showers again tomorrow night, lows around 20. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night with another inch Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
We must tell you, the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to bonus coverage of the Devil's Advocates. Leading up, Dominic, to the most dynamic State of the State speech, perhaps in Wisconsin's history.
Perhaps in our lifetime.
Governor Tony Evers is going to light the room on fire about 7 yes. o'clock Central Time. We're going to play it for you right here on the Civic Media app. And we've got a fine guest and co-pundit, Civic Media host, Up North News' own. He's Pat Kreitlow. Pat, you were a former state senator. You've sat through some of these speeches, but none will hold a candle to Tony's barn burner tonight.
Hey, Pat.
You know the ones I sat through were delivered by Jim Doyle, right? So, you know.
Jim Doyle, as Tony would call him, Mr. Dynamic.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, look, all kidding aside, Jim Doyle gave a good speech, but let's not confuse him with, you know, the greatest showman ever or whatever that movie was. You know, these are speeches that are a little bit beyond their time, shall we say. There's a little bit of performance art, not the kind of performance where you're doing a song and dance, but where you're going through the motions of saying, look, dudes and dudettes, this is what I want you guys to get done. I have the prerogative. You know, I got the seal, I got the office in the East Wing, so I get to come in front of you and tell you what I want to do. In the end, since Republicans control the legislature, they have to sit there, you know, politely applaud now and then. But, you know, they and Governor Evers' veto pen get the last word. But this is one of those steps we have to do in the dance to get a state budget.
Now, Pat, is it possible, you know, when you talk about a song and a dance, we could see a marching band. There's plenty of things Tony could do to bring attention and spice up the speech, and we'd play it for you right here on the Civic Media Network. But then, eventually, the man's got to stand in front of the lectern and address the class, and a very smug-looking Robin Voss, I suspect, looking over his, probably Tony's left shoulder. And then there's always the ginormous head of Tyler August, Speaker Pro Tem, just hovering in the background.
That hovering is so weird. And the only time I've ever really seen it work in all my years of State of the State addresses and State of the Union addresses was that year Nancy Pelosi tore up a copy of Trump's speech right after he gave the State of the Union address. But other than that, we just wait every day to see, or every year to see, if somebody falls asleep or, you know, if they've got a sneeze or whatever the case may be. Again, not a backdrop that's made for television, as they say, but it's something that gets done so that a governor can tell the legislature, their priorities. And Governor Evers has already put forward some excerpts from the speech that make clear that, you know, his priorities are going to deal around the economy, around workforce development, around child care. Though I will tell you, if you haven't seen the excerpts yet, he does take a he takes.
Oh, don't spoil the ending for us. No spoilers here, please.
Okay, well, then I won't tell you how he takes a shot at Scott Walker, but you'll want to stick around for that as he outlines all of his priorities for what he would like to see in a budget bill. And then Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker, is not trusting anybody else in his caucus. He's not trusting any senator, nobody but himself to deliver the Republican response. And if you will recall how he got primaried last year and how I'm sure there was some dissension in the ranks of his membership, you understand why he feels like if anybody's going to deliver the Republican address, it's going to be him, because he's a caucus of one right now when it comes to trust.
Pat, but there's so no rising stars in the Republican Party. I mean,
Janelle Branchen?
If Voss is going to take it upon himself to deliver the response, what does that say about the rest of his caucus?
Well, it says they fall in line. It says that in the end, he is the speaker. Quite literally, he speaks for them all. And unlike in Congress, where you could find, well, how many people at first opposed Kevin McCarthy for House Speaker, you don't really have that in the state assembly. You might have some grumbling, but in the end, there's nobody that wants to emerge as a star, if you will, because, again, when Janelle Branchen tried to, you know, stand out, we saw what happened to her. So, yeah, not a lot of dynamic communication is going on that side of the aisle.
She's a star. She's a bright, shining star, I tell you, Dom.
Only to the extent that she can actually get an election overturned or whatever her past record indicates, you know.
We are the Devil's Advocates. That's Pat Kreitlow, Up North News. Pat, I guess that's the point. It's not like there are people that are saying things. It's not as if Janelle Branchen or any of the other election deniers didn't have, you know, passion and something to say. It's just the what they were saying and how they were saying it, and the lack of facts and evidence about their positions, you know, lends us, everyone, to believe, well, they have very little credibility on any of these issues. And if Robin Voss, who, you know, obviously, as we all know, put Gabelman, disgraced former Justice Gabelman, in charge of this fraudulent election investigation, then ends up firing him after paying, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, mm-hmm. and calls him an embarrassment to the state. I mean, Robin Voss is the headmaster of this, of a circus.
Very much so. And again, he was having some dissension in the ranks because he had the audacity to say, you know, the 2020 election, once after Gabelman, he said, okay, it's over, we've got to move on. Robin Voss is nothing if he's not a tactician. And he, more than many other Republicans, said, you know what, this thing has run its course. We are not going to relitigate 2020. I will actually be surprised if Speaker Voss gives more than lip service to, you know, election integrity or however he puts it. But I think he'd just like to put that all behind him and just get back to what he does best, which is to mischaracterize, you know, what Tony Evers is doing, that by, again, having the gall to propose things, that makes him political and divisive. And that's what I expect to hear in the Republican response.
Pat, what was your response to the, I perceive it to be, complete political cynicism, the referendums that the Republicans would jam onto the spring ballot, you know, welfare people should work, those welfare queens, to apparently turn out their base because that's what energizes mm-hmm. their base. But of course, the issue of abortion, no, we can't go there. No way, even on a non-binding basis, certainly not on a constitutional referendum binding sort of basis, do we want to know what the voters of the state of Wisconsin would say on the abortion issue? Because the vast majority of them do not agree with the Republican legislative majority on this issue, and certainly not with Robin Voss. And when he says Tony Evers is some kind of extremist because he won't come halfway back to an abortion ban that, what, carves out rape and incest? I mean, wow, could you, Robin?
Well, that's where you've got to give credit to the Democratic caucuses in the Assembly and Senate, led by Greta Neubauer in the Assembly and Melissa Agard in the Senate, that they didn't just sit there and take it when Republicans wanted to put up a literally useless constitutional amendment that says something about welfare benefits that is already state law. No, instead of just sitting there and Democrats rolling their eyes, they said, oh, you want to ask voters what they think of an already existing law? I have an idea. Here's an existing law from 1849. How about if we ask the voters about that? And of course, the Republicans right away just went, oh, God, no. And so the strategy, yes, is to gin up turnout. But honestly, that's going to do next to nothing, I think, to get any extra conservative voters out to vote in the state Supreme Court election in April. What's really going to do it is going to be, you know, money from the E-lines or whatever other, you know, super PACs are backing whichever conservative candidate comes out of the primary. And I will say, and I will say it a thousand more times, I'm sure, folks got to vote in the February primary, because there's no guarantee that one or both progressive candidates will come out of that primary. It could be the top two vote getters in February are the conservatives, and then there will be no progressive choice who that justice is. So as important as the April election is, the February primary, folks got to turn out for that if they want real choice come April.
Now, Pat Kreitlow, you served in the state Senate. You've run the elective cycle. And abortion, I got to think, is still front and center. And in fact, the Wisconsin Supreme Court literally could have a say on the issue of abortion and the gerrymandered maps and a lot of other important issues for Wisconsinites. So how does the governor, the one big shot he's got all year to give this speech, to take the bully pulpit and to put abortion front and center because we're in the election cycle, how does politician Evers play it tonight, do you think?
Oh, he plays it up. Is really what it is. Now, interestingly, there were so many things that were in those pre-released excerpts. I mentioned, you know, the economy and broadband, clean energy, veterans, education, tax relief. And the first thing on my list of what's not in there, abortion, because he does not want to give Republicans any talking points ahead of time. But I fully expect that he is going to play that up, that the Democrats in the crowd are going to cheer wildly when he talks about how terrible, how old this law is that was put up 70 years before women even had the right to vote. So he most certainly, as quiet as he is most of the time, he is still a veteran politician and knows that that is going to be probably his biggest line that's going to be used after this speech. People aren't going to talk about the economic platform or clean energy. They're going to talk about what Tony Evers had to say about letting voters have a say in getting rid of a law written a year after Wisconsin became a state.
Pat Kreitlow, putting you on the spot. What's your drinking word? What's your trigger word? Tony says it, you're drinking. What is it?
Well, folks, because I've got to go to bed early for a 6 a.m. show, and if I go with folks, I should be passed out, you know, two-thirds of the way through the speech.
He is Pat Kreitlow. He's the early morning guy. Pat, you got a few more minutes for us?
Absolutely.
Outstanding Up North News. It's not a podcast. It's a morning radio show, 6 to 8 a.m. across the Civic Media Network. Pat's going to stick around. Special bonus Devil's Advocates. All the way up to Tony's dynamic state of the state speech. Best one you ever heard on this network.
We'll do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s, like go back to college, learn to skateboard. Whoa.
Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. At aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a free 3-minute chat with a friendly digital retirement coach, Avo, and receive personalized tips to help boost your savings. Start chatting with Avo today at aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
But Dom, we've been following a couple of big stories this week. Truck convoy leader has no idea where he is and is driving in circles around I-495. He didn't know precisely where he was going anyways or where he was at the time. Apparently, he put the convoy back on the road, headed back up north, and now he's back in Scranton.
So, I totally would have protested this tyranny, but damn, the traffic was so bad.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies tonight with a low of 27. Winds out of the south around 5 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Snow showers likely at times. High temperatures reach up to 32. Overcast tomorrow night. Chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 24. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night with another inch Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show extended coverage. You can join us on the phones leading up to the State of the State address. Governor Tony Evers is going to jump on around 7 o'clock, but our phone number, 844-967-2789.
Hey, Pat Kreitlow, our good buddy, yes, up North News. You've had the governor on your show, haven't you?
We have had an interview with him, yes, and he's talked to Up North News reporters previously about, you know, his end of the year, looking back, looking ahead for us, yes.
Well, I don't mean chasing him out in the public. I can do that.
Right.
But he came on the show. He answered the call.
And he is always on message in terms of having an actual, you know, plan of things that he'd like to do to advance Wisconsin, grow the economy, solve problems. And that is why I think that whatever the Republican response is, I hope that the press corps there, and I'm looking right now at the view that Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, has from the press gallery in the assembly chamber there. And I hope that those Republicans continue to be pressed on, for example, if they really want that flat tax, if that's what they want to try to jam through to Governor Evers, which is going to blow a $5 billion hole in the budget, make them say, what are you going to cut? Because Tony Evers is going to tell you what he would like to grow, what he would like to improve. But, you know, Republicans are going to give a lot of rhetoric, but not a lot of specifics.
Pat, weed, man. What about the legal weed? Is there any indication that Governor Evers is going to, as he said before, he's down apparently now with the legalized, you know, tax and regulated marijuana or cannabis market here in the state of Wisconsin? We're surrounded by states. Everyone goes out of state. Hell, there's still a thriving illegal black market weed market here in Wisconsin. Is that something, do you think, number one, will come up in the speech? And number two, I know it sounds coming from a couple of weed guys like us, like, oh, you know, it's just more weed talk. But legitimately, this is a justice issue. This is a racial issue. This is a revenue issue. This is a freedom issue. What's your sense on how the governor's going to handle that tonight?
You know, I'm looking back right now. I pulled up all of our stories from the previous four State of the State addresses, and I don't know for sure that it has ever received a mention in there. I think if ever it were going to, it would be this first year after being reelected. But again, it wasn't in the pre-released excerpts. And I almost wonder, you know, Dom, if where we'll see it is in part two of all of this, and I don't think we've talked about that. This is part one, the state of the state. It's very much just general themes. Here's what I'd like to do. And then it's on February 14th that he comes back into that chamber and delivers his budget address, where he actually puts money next to things. And if the governor were going to bring up legalizing marijuana, yes, they're going to have the legislature meet on Valentine's Day night.
How well planned that is. How thoughtful and strategic.
It just tells you it's planned. It was planned by people who don't always have the most stable domestic situation back at home, shall we say. So if I got to work on
Robin Voss planned that, huh?
You got to. That has been said.
Oh, yeah. The third terrible. Mrs. Voss is lovely.
That's terrible.
So on Valentine's Day night, we may hear the governor then say, hey, guys, it's about time we legalize this. Here's the amount of money it would bring in, and see if that motivates legislators then. It probably won't. Republicans have already said there's no pathway to legalizing. Excuse me, no pathway? With what, 70% approval in the state? There's a pathway. It's called vote yes.
Now, millions of dollars, Pat. Hell, that's just from the devil's advocates. More serious note, guns. Milwaukee, another near terrible weekend of violence here in Milwaukee. Of course, nationwide, too. Mass shootings, so many mass shootings since the beginning of the year. It seems like an evergreen issue, Pat. Was there any mention, or do you expect any sort of conversation around gun safety?
I think it'll be brief because he already knows that nothing's going to happen with this Republican-led legislature. So what I think he will do, if anything, is put in a mention that is designed to call them out and shame them a bit for the way that they have shamefully gaveled in and gaveled out a special session that he called specifically for gun safety, a lot like all of the other special sessions that they gaveled in and gaveled out and didn't take up anything. Now, he's not going to go as far as maybe I would if I were up there and really call out Republicans as almost accessories to the carnage that's out there because they refuse to do anything. But I don't expect the governor to be that sharp on it because he already knows, again, you've got something like 70, 80, in some cases, 90% public support for things like universal background checks. So he just has to point out yet again, these guys are out of the mainstream and let the viewing audience take it from there.
Pat Kreitlow, our good buddy, you were a state senator. And you sat in the chamber. And Pat, I actually have been there both as a attendee. I was there as one of Jim Doyle's props. I had to do the stand up and wave thing. I got to tell you, a little embarrassing. It was on short notice. Mm-hmm. My family had been lobbying for our son, who's on the autism spectrum, for some legislation that was eventually stuck in the budget and became law under Governor Doyle. Tony Evers is going to put his budgetary speech out there, apparently, on Valentine's Day. Not my first choice, but Republicans are going to throw it in the shredder.
Oh,
and
yes.
Then it comes down to, does Tony have the backbone and the will to fight this battle into the summer, into the fall, if necessary? I hope he does. Your thoughts?
He's got that veto pen. That was the main thing that he ran on. He is the one defense against a flat tax. That would be a massive giveaway to the wealthy. So at some point, again, we can do this all the way until June 30th when the next budget's due. We could even go into overtime. But at some point, yet again, folks got to figure out on, you know, the Republican side of the aisle, they've got to work out something together. And there's no election anytime soon. It's the odd-numbered year. So how about you just sit down and actually do it? But I think we're going to have to go through some drama instead before we get there.
Pat Kreitlow, our good buddy. He is the morning host around here on the Civic Media Network, Up North News. Pat, I guess I'll have to envy your fine and dynamic interviews with Governor Tony Evers. I can only envy them at this point. If you're listening, Governor, call us. 844-967-2789. Probably getting ready for the big speech. It's going to play out live here. We've got another fine guest, Todd Alba, coming soon. Pat, I'll catch you in the morning on the radio.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, guys. Pat.
A progressive.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
All over America, people are taking the national radon test. Have you? Answer true or false. Radon is a radioactive gas. True.
I didn't know that, no.
True or false. The Office of the Surgeon General recommends that all homes be tested for radon. True, your home should be tested. True or false, radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer. True.
I'm gonna dial the number and call.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
Keep your family safe from radon. Call now.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
Olivia, from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Port Edwards man John Sarver, age 59, will be sentenced today for killing Eleanor Roberts in 1984. Sarver was convicted of first-degree murder this November of killing Roberts in her home when he was attempting a robbery 39 years ago. Eleanor's son found her dead in her home in the town of Saratoga on November 27, 1984. Sarver was brought in multiple times for questioning, but never convicted. Investigators were able to get finger and palm prints from the area where Eleanor was killed, and with the advancement of technologies, were able to match them to Sarver's prints. Roberts died from a combination of blunt force trauma and numerous stab wounds. The sentencing hearing will begin at 1 p.m. in the Wood County Circuit Court. Starting this summer, UW-Green Bay will begin offering a training program for caregiver supervisors. The program will offer free tuition to an estimated 250 people. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lows dip down to about 21 tonight under overcast skies, southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tomorrow, chance for snow, daytime highs approaching 31. Chance of snow showers again tomorrow night, lows around 20. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night with another inch Friday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Time show, man. Afternoon, evening drives. It's sometimes it's dark when we leave the airwaves, when Pat gets up. Sometimes it's dark when he's getting on the airwaves. Tune them in across the Civic Media Network or get the app anywhere. The Pat Kreitlow Up North News, 6 to 8 a.m. So tune them in tomorrow morning. And the big speech from Tony Evers is going to start after 7, Dom. We got Todd Alba host of the Todd Alba Show, Civic Media, 8 to 11 in a lot of our markets, Richland Center, Amory, Warsaw, Wausau, Bull Falls Radio, one of my favorite stations, fine new facility. Did I mention I was in Green Bay listening crystal clear on WGBW 97.9 FM? Tell all your friends. Sounds damn good.
Nice.
Also, listen to the Oshkosh Air Support on the way in back, 98.3. But, anyways, here's the point. If I'm getting to a point, I better start making it.
What's the point, Crudy?
Normally, we're late on the airwaves, but Bruce Murphy, our friend from the Urban Milwaukee Online Daily, often drops stories right as we're leaving. And he's got a new one, and I'd like to share it with the audience, because tonight we got a little bonus time. The radical views of Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro, you know, the conservative Supreme Court candidates. As Murphy points out in the subheadline, and you could say this of us, Tom, although take out the Bible part. Both candidates for state Supreme Court got legal training from mediocre Bible-oriented school. No. Well, they got the mediocre part right in the case of UW-La Crosse.
Oh, come on, a fine institution.
Not for what I was studying.
Did you even graduate, Mike?
I did. Good okay. enough, and I would say this. UWL, good enough for Belling, good enough for this fine product.
Hey, come on, one of the finest Wisconsin schools there is. Beautiful, good school, great professors, and awesome students.
And they party.
Oh, yeah, they party. Oh, yes, they do.
Let me jump into the Bruce Murphy while there's time. The race for state Supreme Court has been described as a contest between two conservatives, Dan Kelly and, you know, celebrity judge Jennifer Doro, and two liberals, Everett Mitchell and Janet Protasiewicz. But that only begins to describe how stark the difference is in this election. Remarkably, the two conservatives, Kelly and Doro, both got their law degree from Regent University, founded by fundamentalist TV preacher Pat Robertson.
What? You gotta be kidding me!
It was still called the Christian Broadcasting Network School of Law. Let me repeat that in case you laughed over it and the audience didn't hear it. It was still called the Christian Broadcasting Network School of Law when Kelly began attending it, and it changed its name in 1991, a year before he graduated, and 2 years before Doro began taking classes there. Oh, geez, man. They're like our contemporaries almost. Nowadays, it ranks pretty low among law schools. Behind 141 by the U.S. News and World Report. But back in the 1990s, when Kelly and Doro attended the school, it was doing far worse. Dom, 60% of the class in 99 failed the bar exam on the first attempt. That's a majority. Hell, that's a filibuster-proof majority. Failed the bar exam on their first attempt. As the Boston Globe reported, prompting the school to overhaul its curriculum. Let's remember, that's like 8 years after Dan Kelly graduated from, what was it called then?
The Christian Broadcasting Network School of Law.
Dom, here's a quote from...
When's the Devil's Advocate School of Law going to come out, man?
Well, I don't know. Whenever Jim Santel starts teaching at it. As a 1995 story by the Baltimore Sun reported, classes at Regent begin with the Bible reading, and the secular legal system is analyzed through the prism of the Bible, as it should be, right, Dom? Each class started with 15 minutes of prayer.
15 minutes? 15 minutes? What were they doing? The whole Hail Mary? Well, you know, the whole bead thing? Are they doing the whole rosary? I mean, what do you, 15 minutes of prayer? I mean, hell, in our class, you only got 45 minutes left.
Dom, the dean, J. Nelson Happy, Dean Happy.
Dean Happy.
said, we're here for one purpose. To see it. Pardon me. Let me try that again. We're here for one purpose. To serve Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. One issue. Oh, my God.
Oh, they've got a law review, Dom. One issue. This has got to be good. One issue of the school's law review was killed because it contained an article arguing that shooting at an abortion doctor could be justifiable homicide. The story reported.
Oh.
Could be justifiable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just looking at this through the prism of Jesus Christ and, you know, what the hell, right?
Even today, Dom, today, its mission statement states that Regent University serves as a center of Christian thought and action to provide excellent education, dude, through a biblical perspective and global context, equipping Christian leaders to change the world. These values permeate the law school. Oh, it permeates them.
Is that what the smell
stings
is?
Stings the nose. With such an education, it's perhaps not surprising that Kelly wrote a book in 2014 with strikingly unorthodox views on the law, declaring that all authority comes not from the U.S. Constitution, but from God. The book also offered a bizarre comparison between slavery and affirmative action, with Kelly arguing that both spring from the same taproot and that neither can exist without the foundational principle that it is acceptance to force someone into an unwanted economic relationship. But he's anti-union as well, Dom. In his 16 application to the governor applying for the vacant justice position, Kelly excoriated the U.S. Supreme Court's landmark Obergefell versus Hodges decision in 2015, striking down the federal law banning same-sex marriage. The decision, he wrote, and here's a quote from the esteemed Wanker-appointed, fake college, former Supreme Court justice, he wrote, "will eventually rob the institution of marriage of any discernible meaning. In the name of fairness, we will in time recognize other non-traditional arrangements as marriages. Finally, when marriage eventually means anything imaginable, we will find it means nothing at all."
Does anyone else's marriage, or whatever you want to call it, non-traditional, gay, or otherwise, does that affect your marriage, sir? I don't. These guys are asses. I don't understand. If you don't like gay marriage, don't get gay married. You know what I mean? It's really simple. You're gonna use your Bible to justify your prejudice, right? That's what they do. Crude, I'll jump in here a little bit. This is amazing. Oh, my God. I had no idea there were such hacks. I mean, I knew there were hacks, but I had no idea to what degree of hackiness was going on here.
As Joe would have said, big time.
Big time hack. In short, he proposed to be a state Supreme Court justice with a viewpoint that was hostile to the U.S. Supreme Court decision. And let me just stop right here real quick. I mean, if everything is from God, if whoever Dan Kelly or Doro perceives to be God, and God comes down into their courtroom and tells them to do something unconstitutional, do they do it?
Yes. If you're inspired by God and that overrules the secular constitution, as you're taught at Regent, former Christian Broadcasting Network law school?
Jesus! On one hand, Kelly claimed that the oath he would take as a justice will guarantee to you that my personal political beliefs and my political philosophy will have no impact on me whatsoever. Yet those personal political beliefs were offered by Kelly as his legal views in his application for the Supreme Court position as part of the legal philosophy in his book, a chapter in which he included in his application. Oh, look. You know, I mean, you know, and he's saying political, but of course it's religious. And is religion politics? I guess, sure, to some degree. Kelly was appointed by Walker, as mentioned, serving 4 years and losing his bid by getting his ass whipped by Karofsky, becoming the only second state Supreme Court incumbent in Wisconsin's history to lose re-election. It's telling that Kelly has been endorsed in this election by Justice Rebecca Bradley, who is the most radical member of the court. Kelly wrote a high court decision that found Madison could not bar guns in its buses and has compared abortion to murder. He was also a sure vote for Republican proposals. Kelly has consistently voted in favor of every position taken before the Wisconsin Supreme Court by white right-wing Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Liberal lawyer Lester Pines has written, by the way, Kelly previously served as the advisory board of Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty.
Dominic, let's talk about the other Regent-educated Supreme Court wannabe, Doro. Like Kelly, Doro owes her elevation to judge position to Wanker. She was appointed to a Wisconsin Circuit Court judge by Governor Walker in 2011 and elevated to chief judge by Wisconsin Supreme Court in 2017. Let's not forget that would be the conservative court. She has been endorsed by High Court Justice Patience Rogensack, who was the driving force in turning the court into a virtual rubber stamp for the GOP. And while Doro has been less vocal about her views than Kelly, in her letter to Wanker asking to be considered for a judge, she wrote that, "I hold strong conservative values that will guide me as a judge." See, the buzzwords are there, Dom. Conservative. I'm the right kind of conservatives. Did the Federalist Society endorse either or both? Interestingly, Kelly is on the record chastising any candidates who talk about their values, arguing they should run for the legislature, not the Supreme Court. His quote, "I think values are really just a thin veil put over her personal political agenda." He said of Kurofsky, of course, which contradicts Kelly's past statement that his personal political beliefs guide his legal philosophy.
Okay, George Santos.
And Doro has exemplified the same contradiction. In a January 9th debate featuring the four candidates, she declared that being fair and impartial meant that she wouldn't give any details as to how she might rule in any case. What wonderful qualities to vote for in a candidate. I got to keep it secret. Here's her quote. "The role of a judge should not be interfered with by our political views. We wear a black robe in part to tell of our authority, but also to shield us from the biases and prejudice we undoubtedly bring with our personal experiences." Yet she told Wanker that her strong conservative values would guide her rulings and her application for judgeship, condemned the 2003 Lawrence v. Texas decision by the U.S. Supreme Court as the worst Wisconsin or U.S. Supreme Court decision. The 6-3 ruling cited due process clause of the 14th Amendment to strike down the sodomy law in Texas, thereby making same-sex sexual activity legal, and by extension, invalidating sodomy laws in 13 other states. She doesn't like sodomy laws. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Of course they don't. One more paragraph here. The other two candidates in the race got their law degrees from the two institutions that have educated most lawyers of either party in the state. Mitchell went to the University of Wisconsin Law School, and Protasiewicz went to Marquette. Neither school starts each class with 15 minutes of prayer or teaches law through the prism of the Bible. So, I'm just call me crazy here, but, you know, when you get out and vote in the primary, vote for the people that, you know, didn't go to the Christian Broadcasting Network School of Law. Just an idea.
Come back with us. Go Regents! More Devils.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
They're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge, and then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled and vote Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
My
name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies tonight with a low of 27. Winds out of the south around 5 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Snow showers likely at times. High temperatures reach up to 32. Overcast tomorrow night. Chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 24. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night with another inch Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to extended coverage of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We're bringing you up to the State of the State address here in the great state of Wisconsin. Governor Evers is going to light it up in Madison, telling those Republicans what's what and where he's spending the money.
Dominic, I've been joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, the world headquarters, Madison, Wisconsin, right down the road from the scene of the soon-to-be historic speech. It's going to be historic. People are going to talk about this speech for the rest of their natural lives.
People are talking about it. It's kind of a big deal.
And they're going to talk about this appearance by this guy I'm going to introduce right now. He is Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Network, mostly in the mornings, 8 to 11, but, you know, pulling double duty tonight. How you doing, fella?
Todd. I'm doing fantastic, guys. Thanks for having me on. This is like almost like an Oscar award show for me, for a guy who grew up in politics as a political nerd. You know, I love the pomp, I love the circumstance, I love everything about it.
That makes one of us. You have been in the chambers many, many times. You served at the right hand of Dale Schultz, a guy we respect a lot, but he was a twice elected Senate Majority Leader. And I'm
Republican.
Republican.
Yes. Put that out there, man.
And you're a reformed Republican. At least that's what I'm going to describe you as. But I mean, when you're in the room, what are you looking for? I always look at the smugness of Robin Foss.
Well, sure. It's fun when you're in the room to actually look at the kind of the reactions there. But from a staffing standpoint, and of course, Dale, Senate Majority Leader, never gave a Senate or a State of the State address, but he did give addresses, and oftentimes he would give, when Jim Doyle was governor, a couple of times he gave the Republican response. We actually coined a thing called the pre-buttle, where Dale came out with a speech in the afternoon before the State of the State. And one of the things that you want from a staffing standpoint, or just a pure political standpoint, you're thinking about the headline tomorrow, what you want your boss. So the governor's folks have huddled, and I heard you guys talking about this earlier with Pat Kreitlow and with Earl Ingram Jr. about what they want the message to be into the public and into the media. So that's one thing they're looking for, but also kind of how it plays in the room.
So let me ask you, it's a political event, it's political theater, no sure. doubt. Tony, perhaps not always the barn burner of a speech giver, but we are in a political cycle. We've talked quite a bit, and I'm sure you have on your show, the Todd Alba Show, 8 to 11 across the Civic Media Network, mostly the Western portions.
You're too kind.
But I'm sure you've talked about the fact we are in the midst of an elective cycle. So what is the governor's role as a politician tonight to lay out the case for Democrats or the liberal majority, perhaps on the court, giving us back an opportunity for fair maps? Undoing the gerrymander, undoing an 1849 ban on abortion in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, you want to keep the kids on the farm? You're going to tell young women they don't have control over their own bodies, but, you know, suck it?
You and Dom talked about this earlier on the show, and part of it is to excite the base, right? And one of the things that I think that maybe not the governor so much, but the folks around him have just been lacking, in my personal opinion, is touting all the accomplishments that this governor has done. I mean, he has made the roads better. Employment is at a historic low. We have a record surplus in the state. He got us through a pandemic. He created small business grants to help save hundreds, if not thousands, of businesses across the state of Wisconsin. I mean, those are things that Democrats should be touting to get them excited.
Yeah, but the Packers aren't in the playoffs. And Scott Walker will be quick to tell you every time the Packers have won the Super Bowl, Republican governor in charge.
Sure, right. You guys also talked about abortion. I have procured in my hot little hands about 45 minutes ago two different copies. And, of course, I knew who my boss is. Here is the actual full copy, Crudy, of the governor's speech.
Oh, don't tempt me, man, because... This is probably embargoed, but let's start giving it for him.
It probably is. But what I find really interesting, in the first draft that I got, the governor does have a line about protecting a woman's right to choose and basically alluding to abortion. In the cleaned up version, which appears to be the final version, that line appears to be gone. So we'll see, because I know you and Pat Kreitler were talking about this, you know, say maybe to not give the Republicans a talking point. We'll see if that line stays in the final draft. I'm not sure what.
Todd, let me ask you it, and this has been said before, and I'm not clear. How is the Democratic governor, who would be, you know, lamenting the fact of abortion not being legal and safe for women in the state, and referring back to and Republicans, MAGA wanting this 1849 law, this is what we have. How is that giving Republicans in any way, shape, or form a talking point?
Well, I think it depends on who you talk to. I mean, I would advocate that you need to bring it out. I need to advocate for this. We had a story on my show a couple days ago by Heather Cox Richardson, who writes for National Public Radio a lot. I was unaware until I read this. Back in the 70s, the Southern Baptist Conference advocated for safe abortions in cases of rape, incest, or endangerment of the mother's life. And it wasn't until Pat Buchanan, working for then President Nixon, decided to militarize this issue and politicize it that conservatives and religious leaders went 100% pro-life. And in the last Marquette Law School poll, it was 27% of Republicans last fall said that they supported rape, incest, or endangerment of mother's life exception.
He is Todd Alba. He is going to host our very special coverage of the State of the State Address. And Todd, it's going to sneak up on us, because at the top of the 7, we're going to take you to the Wisconsin State Capitol. Mm-hmm. Our civic media news director, Terry Bell, is in the chambers, so you can check in with Terry. But Todd, before it comes creeping up, man, because we'll talk you right up to the heartbreak. You know how Dom is.
Well, it's always great talking with you guys. I love the real conversation. That's the great part about you guys' program.
Well, here's what I like. Deep in the speech, and I'm not going to steal all of Governor Evers' thunder, but deep in the speech, he talks a lot about the bounce back grants issued by the state of Wisconsin. And I will tell you, I'm very happy to see that Tony's going to propose some new funding and some new bounce back grants in the newest budget. And I mean, this is an investment literally in Main Street, Wisconsin. Tony's been doing it with federal dollars, no doubt. But if we got this kind of surplus, $50 million relative to what we burned on a Foxconn, just in infrastructure, just in eminent domain, buying out people's houses, that $50 million could help another 5,000 businesses get started in the state of Wisconsin. And that's what I'm talking about.
Eminent domain is forcing people to sell their homes. But please, go ahead, Todd.
No, I think that's another great point. Again, focusing on economic successes like these bounce back grants and using money, the surplus money, the nearly $7 billion of taxpayer money, using that to play the Republicans' game. Economics, job creation, that's the Republican line. I think it's brilliant for the Democrats and Tony Evers to steal that tonight.
Well, thank you so much for all the people that helped us do this special bonus coverage, including our buddy Earl Ingram. You can hear him. He competes with Todd for your attention. 8 to 11.
We're one big team.
You know, it is a big team. Also, Pat Kreitler, he gets you up early around here on the Civic Media, 6 to 8 a.m. Thank you to Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. And don't forget, stick around. Special coverage, the State of the State Address. And I make this prediction. This will be the most memorable Tony Evers speech you have ever heard on the Civic Media app and on the Civic Media Network. You're welcome. Todd, you've got the conch.
Thank you.
Thanks, Todd. See you, man.
Take care, guys.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.